All right, good evening, everyone. I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight for our installment of Thursday Night Live, and a special thank you to Didi Dietscher and David Matthew for sponsoring tonight's shiur and generously sponsoring all the food from David's restaurant in Jerusalem in Livingston. It is not Didi's father's Yurtzeit, which is Erev Yom Kippur, but I guess because of the 9 days, and this is, I think, the first Thursday Night Live without meat, and based on the crowd, maybe not the last one, maybe we'll see, but I felt it was a right time. David very much always texts me, he wants to come to the shiur, but he's working late at the restaurant. So this was Yemein Kemach in Torah. There's a lot of Kemach here. Hopefully there'll be a lot of Torah as well. Didi's father, Rabbi Yosef ben Aryeh, is a Kornel Bracha, Joseph Dietscher, who I believe, I'm assuming, is the namesake of Joseph Matthew, who is here today. We thank him for... Oh, your son daven there. Oh, you live there. You daven there. Beautiful. So from what I understand, I actually was able to find a couple of obituaries online, and speaking to David and Didi, he was a really remarkable man, very gentle and very caring, which makes sense because Rabbi Dietscher and his wife were makariv hundreds of people to being the president of NCSY, I believe in Canada, Montreal, and then in Chicago. He's the president of the CRC, the major kashrus organization as well. Hundreds of people. I remember Didi tell me once when she was over for a meal that, oh, every meal growing up, it didn't matter, Friday night, Shabbos, winter, summer, there were dozens of people, someone who really brought everyone in and cared for every person. Having gotten to know Didi and David, they've certainly followed in his footsteps in their generosity and their care for every Jew. And Joseph is making his namesake proud as well. So our learning should be Le'ilui Nishmaso. I'd also like to welcome my brother, Ezra Malitsky, who's here for this year. Or he's here and he's at this year.
I recognize him well.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay. Tonight, I don't know that you're going to walk away with any clarity. My goal isn't to confuse you, but we're going to try together to develop an understanding of our emotions. We have this coming Shabbos, and this year, there are two Shabbosim of the 9 days, because next Shabbos is really Tisha B'Av, it's a Nidchet, a Sunday. We have two different things going on. We have the 9 days. And the 9 days, as we mentioned in the Young Family Minute 2 weeks ago, it's a time when we should be feeling a sense of pain, a sense of loss. It's challenging today. It's challenging because we have so much. It's challenging because you walk around Yerushalayim and you don't get the sense at all that it's desolate and laying in ruin. We have the wonderful opportunity to daven at the Kotel. But it's hard. But there were, and there still are, Gedolim and Rabbanim who really felt the pain of the 3 weeks. The Nodeb Yehuda, they say, during the 3 weeks would not eat any meat or fish. During the 9 days only had bread with ashes. And on Erev Tisha B'Av, he would just cry nonstop. They say that the Chassam Sofer on the Sudam Afsekes would drink a cup of tears that he shed during the 9 days. There are Rabbanim who I've met, who you ask them, how are you during the 9 days? And they look at you incredulously, what do you mean, how am I? You don't ask someone in Shiva, how are you? The Beis Hamikdash is being destroyed as we, and admittedly I'm very far from that. Many of us go to the Svarim shelf and see if there are any Masechtas that we can make a siyum on, because God forbid we go a full week next week without meat, and we're thinking of kulas, and there's a cappella music, and we have a hard time relating. But the reality is that this is a time when we're supposed to be full of bechi, crying and pain and intense grief and emotions. That's the 9 days. We'll try to develop this a little more later. The problem is that Shabbos, we can't do that. Shabbos, we're not actually allowed to cry. If you take a look in source number 2, it's very interesting. It's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Shulchan Aruch is talking about fasting. You're not supposed to fast on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says, Adam shemazik lo ha'achila. Someone who eating damages the person. Da'az oneg hu shelo le'achol. It's enjoyment to not eat. So lo yochal. Your mitzvah on Shabbos is oneg. If the oneg is not to eat, then don't eat. And then says the Shulchan Aruch, v'chein mi sheyesh lo oneg im yivche. Let's say a person would have tremendous enjoyment from crying. How would a person get enjoyment from crying? Perhaps by crying it out, that'll remove the pain and enable a person to get back to a state of oneg. So then, mutter livchos b'Shabbos, that person is allowed to cry on Shabbos. That implies that if that's not the case, you can't cry on Shabbos. There is, in fact, an iser to cry on Shabbos. So this Shabbos, in particular, we have a problem with what our emotions should be. On the one hand, it's the 9 days, the Beis HaMikdash, and next Shabbos times 100, it's Tisha B'Av, and we'll see this in a little bit, it's Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash is literally burning to the ground, but we're not allowed to cry, and we eat meat, and we drink wine. So there's this mix-up of almost contradictory emotions. More than that, there are a lot of minhagim on the 9 days Shabbos, which the poskim address as potentially being difficult. If you turn to page 2, we know, I don't know where the gabayim here, Michi, oh yeah, two gabayim here, three gabayim here, this week, the Haftorah, Gabay Shvi. This week, Haftorah, we do the Haftorah Chazon, all right? We wait till next week?
Yes, next week.
Next week. So the minog is, the Shari Ephraim quotes this. He says, Kriyas Haftorah b'Navi Yesh Lomer b'Niginos HaTamim. Haftorah should be done with a trup. The Haftorah's Chazon, Noagin Lomer b'Nigun Hisonunus V'Kinos. The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, we do the Haftorah with the Eicha trup. Why? Because it's the 9 days. We want to inspire people, awaken people to this, that Eicha tone is very depressing and sad, and we want people to feel that, so we do that. We'll see a lot of people had a major problem with that, because it's Shabbos. You also find, so much so, that the Magen Avraham, right, the halacha is that if you get an aliyah, you're not supposed to get maftir. If there's no one who knows how to do the Haftorah, then someone who got an aliyah can do maftir. Says the Magen Avraham, if it's Shabbos Chazon, and the only guy who knows how to do the Eicha tune already got an aliyah, he gets the aliyah. Meaning it's an important, this minhag is not just a random minhag. It's important enough that we're going to, so to speak, bend the rules to allow someone who knows the tune to do the tune. We all know, and I'm very curious what's going to happen tomorrow night. The Shabbos, the 9 days, you could take it to the bank. That what's the Lucha Dori tune going to be? Elitzion. There's two times a year you know what the Eicha tune is going to be. Tishrei of 9 days and Maoz Tzur Chanukah. It's like if a guy gets up there and doesn't do Maoz Tzur for Lucha Dori Chanukah, forget about it. He's done. So I don't know what they're going to do tomorrow night. If they ask the Gabbai, I don't know what they're going to say. The 9 days, Shabbos, they usually sing Lucha Dori to Kelitzion. This is an old minhag in Frankfurt. And others say it's minhag Ashkenazim, that some of you have the minhag the whole 3 weeks, that we do, we sing l'chadodi to Kelei Tzion, to again, to bring us to that mood. The problem is that it's Shabbos. There's another minhag quoted, that there were shuls that just like during on the Yom Noraim, they changed the paroches to white paroches, often with the shofar, tiku b'chodesh shofar. There was a minhag to switch the paroches during the 3 weeks, and I have it say, Meshkachech Yerushalayim. A very beautiful, beautiful minog. On page 3, in source number 9, the Maharam Brisk, he was asked this question. Is this appropriate? Is it appropriate to have, well, I'm not going to see it inside, is it appropriate to have this special paroches and woven onto the paroches of the Pasuk of Meshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini? Is that appropriate? On the one hand, 9 days, we're sad, we're broken, crying, bechi, his onerous pain. The flip side of Shabbos, And this was a major debate. And I'd like to present two reasons for the opposition. In source number three, there's a halacha that Yom Tov breaks Shiva. We know that, right? I know David Matthew told me today that they had a very, very short Shiva. Rabbi Dietrich passed away in Erev Yom Kippur. It's just a couple hours after the Kvura. Yom Tov comes along and breaks the Shiva entirely. Shabbos, it does not. Shabbos counts as one of the days of Shiva. They don't, so to speak, sit Shiva, but there's no Avelos before Hesia. There's no public Avelos. So the Avel doesn't learn, because that's something in private. Anything that's in public, so they don't keep. Anything in private, they do keep. That's in source number 10. The Shulchan Aruch says, Shabbos ain't a mafsik Avelos. Shabbos doesn't break the Avelos. V'ola l'minyan Shiva. It counts towards the Shiva. Why? Some of the laws of Avelos we keep. Things that are in private. Tashu Shamita. Urechitza. Marital relations. Washing. Aval Dvarim Shebefarhesia. Things that are of a public nature. Lahasir Atifaso. Back then they used to wear, the Avel would wear some kind of turban on their head. Lilbosh Min Alav. An Avel on Shabbos goes to shoes wearing, doesn't wear his Avelos. He or she does not wear their Avelos shoes if they go to shul on Shabbos during Shiva, because that's public. Liskof Amita, there was a certain thing with the beds. Vishal Libosh Beged Karua on Shabbos and Avel during Shiva does not wear their torn clothing. Why? Because that's public Avelos. There are actually some really interesting, just to digress, some practical halachas. There's halacha that an Avel is supposed to change their seat in shul. Shinui Makam, and Avel is supposed to change their seat. They're supposed to move further back, not to the front. They shouldn't sit in a more prominent position. An Avel is supposed to change their seat in Shul. What's the reason for that? I don't know. Shinui Makam, Shinui Mazel. They say Gullus is Mechaper. So you're not really going to Gullus, but you're leaving your place. It's also to signify that things aren't the same. Things aren't the same. A person suffers a loss of one of the Zion Krovim, the seven close relatives. Things should be a little different. The problem is, on Shabbos, isn't that public Avelos? So why on Shabbos is an Avel changing their suit? Shouldn't. So the Shach, the Shulchan Aruch says he should. The Shach on the beginning of page 4, the top source on page 4, flying through these pages. Could have saved a lot of paper if I didn't pull the source in. The Shach says, this, he's explaining the Shulchan Aruch, why should an Avel change their seat? The Svir Leh, She'en Zedavar Shofar Hesia. This is not called public. Why? She'en Avelus Nikr Brzeh Kol Kach. It's not so recognizable. She'har Beh Pe'amim Adem Achlef Makomo. Afilo Eino Avel. People always change their seat. Everyone sits in the same exact seat every single Shabbos? No. It could be you come a little late and someone's in their seat. Hopefully you don't tell them to move. It could be there's a simcha and the Bali simcha sitting near you and you want to give them more seats. It could be you're in the mood to talk to the Yankee fan three rows behind and you sit over there. Hopefully that's not the case, but no, it might not in this shul, obviously. So says the Shach, that's not for Hesia. That's not Nikar. It's not recognizable. People always change their seats. Who does that not apply to?
The Rav.
This should be Allah of Lola Maisa, my parents should live, I may have Hashem Shana, Ezra's Hashem, and my siblings and my children, and we should have Avelos for decades and decades and decades. But if you have a shul where the rabbi sits, usually no one sits in the rabbi's seat. If anyone wants to, please go ahead. It'd be nice not to have to sit on the stage once in a while, or all the time. But there it is, Nikar. It's rather recognizable. If
I moved over to the other seat.
To my seat?
Yeah.
So we'll see. So the Gilead Marsha, I don't know who the Gilead Marsha is. Rabbi Kiva Eger's son. Rabbi Kiva Eger's son writes, based on this, Valzeh samachti lahakel b'mei evli al abba mari morin shal yisrael zecher tzadik levra l'chaya olam haba. When my father passed away, says the Gilead Marsha, I shalol shanos b'shabbos. I didn't change my seat on Shabbos. Why? Kivadai harav biiro ain't dark lashana sabi faresia. If the whole reason is because it's not going to be recognizable, because people always change their seat, the rabbi never changes the seat. So he said, I was Mako and I didn't change my seat. And then he says something wild. When we call Makom b'Shabbos Shnia, the second Shabbos, the first Shabbos, they don't go to shul, we do, whatever. The second Shabbos, Yashim and Adin, lo halachti lo beis haknesses. So the second Shabbos of Shiva, or the first Shabbos after Shiva, the second Shabbos after the person passed away, it's my Ikar Adin, it's according to the Gemara. So to avoid the problem, I didn't go to shul. Now, what does the problem mean?
It's more Nikar if the rabbi doesn't go to shul.
Maybe the rabbi doesn't always go to shul. No, my guess is he got a minute in his house. I don't think he slept till 10 o'clock.
He went to Kiddush Club.
You're right. So that's the Gemara. The Maram Shik, he says, and this is what I think what is done, what Rabbi Lubin did, he said he should change a little bit because people aren't going to know and people are going to think, oh, the rabbi doesn't change his seat. So no one has that. The rabbi doesn't even change his seat, so I don't have to change my seat. So Maram Shik said it's good to move over a little bit. It's not like super recognizable, but it's somewhat of a shinu. It's not as much of a shinu as it should be. Usually it's dalamos. Okay, I just wanted to bring out this point that there's a concept called avelus befarhesia. We don't show public avelus, public mourning on Shabbos. There's another manifestation. An avel has a bar mitzvah to go to. An avel has a shalom zachar. So can an avel during their year of avelus go to the shalom zachar or to the bar mitzvah?
Rabbi Lubin says if there's a kiddush on Shabbos, the avel should go if they usually go. If they not go,
good. So what's that based on?
If they not go, then it's public avel.
That's exactly this halacha. Yeah. Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva on Source 16 this exact point. If a person every single week goes down to the kiddush, if it's a person's best friend, it's his nephew, it's his grandchild. It's a person where it would be like, whoa, why isn't so-and-so here? Oh, he's not here, or she's not here because they're in Avelus. So that's Avelus Befarhesia. So Rav Moshe says, in those cases, a person would be able to attend. You have to know, is it really going to be recognized? Not, sometimes people don't go to things, but okay, I just wanted to digress, to highlight, there's this serious prohibition, there's a prohibition of publicly showing one's mourning on Shabbos.
The question here, though, is asked about Yud Beis Chodesh. Would that same question be answered differently if it was about Shloshim or actually the week of Shiva?
Shloshim, I believe so. Okay. I believe so. Shiva, I'm not sure. Because Shiva, a person is not really supposed to leave their house unless... Yeah, Ramosha has a tshuva elsewhere about a wedding. Ramosha has a tshuva about a child's wedding. I think Ramosha says he the Avel, I don't remember if I'm
heading. But if there's, so let's say the Shabbos Kiddush, right, during the week of Shiva.
Right.
Right, so the Avel's going to go to Shul anyway, right, because no Avel's
for right. Shabbos,
yeah?
Right.
So would that be different, or can even during Shiva you could go to the Kiddush?
I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that.
You're in Shloshim, one doesn't say hello to the
friend. Right. But there's still a problem of Avel's before Hesia. Public avail. So you could Shabbos, you do say hello.
That's right.
Shabbos, you do say hello.
But is the fact that they don't say hello to anybody, and if somebody says hello to them, they sort of half-heartedly answer.
Right. So that's the similar thing. So well, there's no aninus on Shabbos. It's a similar question to Rabbi Lifshitz is asking. I have to know. I have to think about how far will we extend the, so to speak, the heter or the kula of Avelus for Hesia would even apply in Shiva and maybe even for Nonin. The heter doesn't always apply because it's hard to. There are very few people, with the exception of the person who's sitting directly across from me, who goes to every single Shalom Zachar in the tri-state area, or at least in Highland Park, Edison, again. Right. Mild chickpeas and a beer, and we're good to go.
Only if it's open until after 11:30.
To say that's a veil before Hesia, you have to know, it depends on the relationship, depends on the person. Some people go, you know, okay, wait, I have to think about that. So one opposition or reason to oppose the singing of L'chadori to Keli Tzion, to the paroches with the Meshkechich Yerushalayim, to the Haftorah, to the Eichatun, is that's Avelos before Hesia. Why isn't that public Avelos? The reason we're doing it in those tunes is because of Avelos mourning, so it's Avelos before Hesia. So there's a whole slew of Achronim and communities with Minhagim who attempted to abolish that minhag of singing all parts of davening to this tune because of Avelos before Hesia.
But everyone's in Avelos then. It's not like you're talking about someone specific that's sitting Shiva. This is the entire Keilah is sitting Shiva.
So you say maybe it's different.
Yeah.
Maybe Avelos before Hesia is for me to show
someone
to show Avelos.
That's what the halacha is. That's what it's based on.
And maybe because that's going to take away other people's Shabbos. But here, everyone's in that boat. Interesting. That's a good kasha, which in turn I think could maybe help defend the minog, which is most any community I've been to, except for the some chazanim like to just show you that they're not going to do it. But that's not because of Avelos before Hesia. That's just because they're trying to be difficult. Yeah. So that's what I've always felt, that it's not really a velos. There's no halacha that an avel is supposed to sing l'chadori to a sad tune. It's to create that we do that all the time in Yiddishkeit. We do actions and say things to get us into a mindset. It's not necessarily a velos per se. That's another way to defend the minhag. Excellent. The other reason to oppose the minhag is much more fundamental and less halachic. If you take a look, I want to read it inside the Tshuvas HaRadvaz in source 18, top of page 5. He says that there was a minhag in the 3 weeks to do krovets, zechel korban. Krovets, how do we describe krovets? It's these piyutim, which are said as part of Shmoneh Esrei. This shul does it once a year on Purim. If anyone knows why, then Hafachu. Yeah, but Mishnah Zad and Marvin Mesimcha.
It goes back to Russell's.
So Zecher LeKorban, real shtiblach, Nusach Svar. The real, you go to like a real shtibl, you could count on krovets and good herring. Here we do krovets without the good herring. JC does Krovitz Yontif. Okay, I've only been there during the week. So he said, is that right or not? And look at his language. He says such an unbelievable thing. The second paragraph, Tshuva. Yasher chele leman de batil yivato davar kazeh. Yasher koach, basically, to someone who could nullify that minhag. Veshevach lakel. You praise God.
Praise Lord.
In Egypt, where he was living, the Radvaz, they already got rid of this minog. The gam hamis ta'arev, those are the, we had this I think last time, those in Yerushalayim who've been there for a long time, lo nagu kazeh. The kama hirchiku rabuseinu zal tsa'aka b'chiyah b'shabbos. They tried to distance us very much from crying and screaming on Shabbos. In fact, the story is told by of the Gra. I had heard this years ago. I couldn't find it in any source other than a Rabbi Willig article in a Beis Yitzchak, that the Gra's sister passed away on Shabbos, and the Gra, with a really amazing sense of self-control and emotional strength, didn't cry, and the second he made Havdalah, he broke down. Tzaaka b'chi on Shabbos, Chazal very much distanced us from. The kol shekein lomar divrei kios on the second line lahaskar achurban kli laora b'chia. like you're saying, Shroy, to do kinos and to mention the Churban, to put us in a mood, to get us to cry. Hello, I feel as many dochen or so kshachal b'Shabbos. We push off Tisha B'Av when it falls on Shabbos. The kosher and kodem is manenu. Before our time, also they did. That field varmish shemit sina inu noag b'Tisha B'Av shachalios b'Shabbos. That's from a post game. We'll talk about that in a minute. Kosher game b'Shabbos shal kodem Tisha B'Av. The kosher game lomar kinosh and varmish shafar hesia. All these things are no good. And here is amazing. Sof. Ein ra'oy laharos shum da'aga. You shouldn't show any worry. Velo itzavon, and not sadness b'Shabbos. Ela kol simcha. We have to be 100% b'simcha. U'mishiyach levatel minag zeh, yafeh oseh. If you can levatel this minag, good thing. Important caveat. Levat shol yahadeh machlokes. Don't get machlokes over it. I should have bolded that and underlined it. She'en lecha davar omen lefeh machlokes. Nothing stands away machlokes. And the lo nachosh l'minog kevin shub iser. If it's an iser of machlokes, then that's worse than minog. But says the Radvaz, you can't have any worry, any sadness on Shabbos. Hakol simcha. I think that really highlights this struggle, because that means on Friday, a person has to be trying to feel an intense pain and sadness. And Bechi and Itzavon, and I'm not there. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to figure out how to come close to that. And then Shabbos comes, and you have to flip a switch. And whether you're going to do Keli Tzion or not, Aser Laharo Shum Da'agav Lo Itzavon to Shabbos, and becomes very, very tricky. This plays out. We don't have enough time, and we'll have a printed, written review in Shul tomorrow. Next Shabbos, you have a lot of halachos which are very confusing, because it's Tisha B'Av. It's Tisha B'Av. But the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Mishnah Berurah explains, that if a person doesn't have meat nor wine because of Tisha B'Av, it's an Avera. Even though you don't have to have meat and wine on Shabbos. But if you're not going to have meat and wine because of Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah Berurah says it's an Avera. The language of the Rishonim, that you can even have Kisuda Shlomo HaMelech. Feast like a king. But the Magen Avraham says, you should sit b'davo nefesh, with a sense of seriousness and solemnity. Says the Magen Avraham, you should invite company next Shabbos. There's Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash is burning. But you ought to have meat, and you're drinking wine, and you're happy, simcha. No, so that's I think, the struggle, both tomorrow night Shabbos, and certainly, I think, times 10, the net of Shmuel Zalman, we're not going to have time for this. There's a whole debate. What to do about Ufruf? There's a lot of Ufrufs next Shabbos. Push off to the. Which one should you do it? Because a lot of people get married after Tisha B'Av. That's the busiest wedding week. So you have Ufruf. You have Ufruf on Tisha B'Av. You can go straight from like the Shalashos Ufruf to Kinos. You throw bags. Or Shmuel Zalman says you should. Veils before Hesia. The point isn't the passing. Thanks just to raise that sensitivity. That intense, like emotional conflict. What I take out of this is really twofold. Is that I don't think, and I'm speaking for myself, I don't think my 9 days emotion sadness is where it should be. It's where it should be. Because forget about Shabbos, you know. Itzavon, Da'aga, Bechi, Hisonus, Kinus, and I think it's kedai to think the next couple hours, the next 24 hours, the next week, what is the veil? And yes, Yerushalayim has been rebuilt and like we've never seen it before. And yes, we do get to daven at the Kulton. Maybe we've been at Berchas Kohanim and the Shalosh Regalim, and it's amazing. But that's that there were Gedolim who didn't go to the Kotel. They couldn't. It brought them too much. We're so happy. We finally had, you know, Akotel. We go. It's there were gedolim who couldn't go because this is what we have. This is nothing. This is a remnant. And I don't think, again, for myself, the da'aga, the tzar, the bechi is where it should be. And the flip side is the Shabbos, is the simcha, is the no da'aga nitzavon on Shabbos where it's supposed to be. So I think for myself, I have ways to go, both in terms of creating an awareness, a sensitivity, a da'aga in the 9 days leading up to Tisha B'Av, while at the same time trying to figure out how to have a Shabbos, which is not just happy because I don't have to work and I don't have to answer emails and I'm with my family, but it's a spiritual simcha. We don't have the time to develop that today. It'll be another week, hopefully, where we could develop that intense simcha that we don't have, or we don't even ask bakashos on Shabbos. We spoke about this. No personal bakashos on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a time to ask for things. Shabbos is a time is us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu deepening that relationship, thinking about God, being with our family, with the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That gives us the greatest simcha, the Tzar of Avelis coming together, and hopefully through our mourning properly, Kalmas Abla Yerushalayim, the Gemara says, Zochev Arob Simchasa, those who can mourn properly will ultimately rejoice in the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And obviously we know those who keep Shabbos, Chazal say, if you keep Ilmole, Shamar Bnei Yisrael, Be Shabbos, is kept Yerushalayim, doesn't mean it doesn't break Shabbos. To keep a Shabbos, to have a Simcha, also it could bring the Gula, B'mher B'menu.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. No more Tisha B'Av.
He says that in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim used to sit on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash mourning the first Beis HaMikdash. That's the biggest contradiction you would think, but that they even knew that Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed too. But even on Tisha B'Av, with the Beis HaMikdash, they would sit on the floor and mourn the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah. Okay, someone sent me a message today.